Hello and welcome back to the Embrace Radio Show. It is 12:06 on this very rainy Wednesday. I'm Sophie St. Furman and I am here with Esther and Maria from the Office of Intercultural Affairs. How are you guys today?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm warmer than I was before. It's warm in here, so I'm happy about that. I picked bad shoes for today. My feet are wet, but I'm doing well.
I know, I wondered why I did not bring the raincoat to work with me. I have an umbrella, but I think the raincoat would have been better today.
Yeah, it is a fall day. How are you, Sophie?
I'm good. Yeah.
Good.
I'm happy to be here. I always love, this is like a good part of my week.
Oh, well, this is a great part of our week. And Sophie, I talked to you about this already.
Yes.
But our listeners have not heard whether or not your friend survived the Spartan race, right?
They sure did.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes.
And you survived camping.
I did. That was another experience.
We're so glad you came back to us in one piece.
Thank you.
And your friends did the race and it went well.
It went very well. Yes.
Were you inspired to do the race someday?
Yeah. I was expecting everyone to be super fit going into the race, but mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people that were just, you know, happy to be there, even if they, you know what I'm saying?
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So.
That's funny.
So, Sophie, are you inspired to run the next race?
Next
Spartan race?
I wouldn't say no.
That's a great answer.
I wouldn't say yes right away, though.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say no.
I love that the alternate term for fit, not fit, is I'm just happy to be
happy
here. That is really great. Yeah. Well, everyone had their fall break.
Yes.
That was nice. I hope campus is feeling refreshed and ready to hit these last weeks of the semester.
That's right.
With enthusiasm.
Maria, you got to travel some.
I was in Waco, Texas.
Tell us. It was a special
we
trip.
Need, Sophie has heard, right?
I have
Pretty
heard.
Much anyone that comes in my office and sits down, I'm like, so I went to Waco. And I tell them all about it. We need like a whole show about Waco, I think. But okay. Waco is, for our listeners who are younger than myself, Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yes.
Have a show called Fixer Upper. And they fix up homes in Waco, Texas. And they have basically built a Disneyland for middle-aged women such as myself, where you can go and purchase items that you think will make your home look beautiful. And you can eat in their restaurant and you can buy cupcakes from them and other delightful pastries. And if you go during Silobration, which I did happen to be there during Silobration.
What is that?
Well, see, they've purchased a lot of things in their silos. They purchased like an old grain thing and their silos there. So at their part of their like their store and their bakery are all set around these silos.
Okay.
So in the fall, they have a festival called Silobration. And they have vendors. And I mean, I could go on for hours.
Okay.
So I went with my sisters.
So did you get to see Chip and Joanna?
Oh, did I get to see them?
Maria, no way.
Well, I did. I actually was right next to their kids.
What?
Like right next to them. But I'm not a stalker. So I stayed real calm.
Oh, Maria.
I saw Joanna's sister. Well, I like to call her JoJo, actually.
Okay.
Just because I feel like we're friends now. And I saw her sister and her mom. I'm actually kidding. I don't really watch the show that much, but my sisters do.
I watch the HGTV.
Okay, so I was at their concert. And all right.
Maria.
I'm going to take away from our special guest here, but I'm just going to take a moment.
You know, I've always wondered how we could bring Chip and Joanna Gaines this
here.
Way towards Kentucky.
I mean, I'm practically best friends with them now, so
okay.
maybe I've okay. gotten in. And there was a free, well, it was not a free concert, but it was a free concert for me. So Josh Garrels, who some people might know, but I don't know. He's kind of older like me, and so maybe not. But anyways, everyone's no. I did not know who he was. But I do know some people who do know who he is. He was giving a concert along with Johnny Swim.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone, I'd never heard of him either. But anyways, my sister happens to know Josh Garrels and someone in his band. So we got free tickets to the concert that Chip and Joanna visited. And I have a picture where we are standing probably 100 feet from where Chip and Joanna are sitting, but they're like way above us. They're like a dark blob in the distance.
Okay.
But if you circle them in the picture, it kind of feels like we're friends, like we took a group photo. Not really. You can't even see them in the picture. But
wow. So we're just
all that to say, it was fun. It was a surprise trip from Kevin and my sister. So it was great. It was a great weekend.
That is wonderful. And now we have a possible.
Right. I mean, I'm sure they will remember me. All I have to do is say, I saw your kids. I was at Celebration, and they'll be like, I know who that is. She's one of the, 8,000 middle-aged women that came. I bought the table runner. I think they'll definitely, it'll ring a bell. So,
okay,
well, let's get back on track, because
yes,
I could clearly talk forever.
We can. And, you know, I think I want to just start out by thanking our listeners. So
yes,
students on campus, faculty, staff, members of the community, but also our Asbarians who are around the world and around the United States.
Yes.
We've been receiving a lot of feedback from you, letting us know how much you have enjoyed listening to our students. And, you know, you've been so gracious. You've even said you've enjoyed Maria and me.
That's so kind.
So thank you for affirming, affirming us in this way. So we've got a couple shout outs.
We do.
And I think there's one very special one today.
Very special.
I actually requested Heather Tyner to get on the show and be there for at least 10 minutes. So, Heather, I hope you're listening, but here you go.
Happy birthday, Heather!
Heather, we appreciate you and we're so grateful that you are on campus and working with student engagement in so many forms. But we just want to give a shout out to you and hope you feel celebrated and loved. And we're grateful that you belong to our community, that
yes,
you belong to us.
Amen to all that. We're so happy that you're here, Heather, and that we can celebrate your life with you. And we hope that you feel loved and celebrated today. And we have another birthday, actually.
Yes.
Shout out to Andy McGroof, who I don't know how old he is today.
Andy,
you young
where
people.
Where are you right now?
20.
He's maybe 20. He's so young. Yeah. So happy birthday, Andy. We hope you have a great day, too. And he actually read scripture in chapel today, which I very much appreciated, which takes us to another thing to discuss. Our chapels this week and Great Commission.
Yes, the Great Commission Congress. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been a good week. And it's been fun for me to hear scripture in different languages, prayers in different languages, songs in different languages. I appreciate it. It almost always brings tears to my eyes thinking about the kingdom, mm-hmm, and that someday we really will worship in a unified way, where all these nations, tribes, tongues will be represented. And I love it. It always moves me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful for that. What else is on our plate this morning?
You know, I have a special shout out, another shout out to make. I was in the stew, said the end of the program that happened last evening with the student, mm-hmm, panel. And Derek, I hope I do your last name justice. But I think Derek Tweeney came up to me last evening and expressed how thankful you are for the radio show. And Derek, I understand that you are one of our senior students, and I just want to thank you for your feedback. And I hope that maybe someday, somehow, we may be able to have you on the radio show to share your story of, you know, how you got to Asbury. And so I just want to give a shout out and just say thank you. Thank you for that feedback and that comment. Because Maria and I are very intentional about keeping in front of our community the cultural and ethnic diversity that we get to celebrate at Asbury University. And I'm just going to take this moment to say that for me, it also includes our Caucasian community. So culture and ethnicity is not just about out there, meaning overseas, or in the minoritized populations of the United States, but ethnicity for me is all people groups everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so having said that, it is such a delight to be intentional about this work and to be able to remind our community that we need to see, we need to hear, and we need to respond appropriately to the things that come at us every day in so many different shapes and forms. So,
yes. And I think we have, I'm looking at my notes, we have neglected one shout out to our volleyball players.
Oh, yes.
Sophie, help me out.
Lizzie, so, is it Lizzie and
Lizzie and Jesse? Yes.
Yes.
So tell us again, Sophie, 1,000.
So Lizzie did 1,000 hits in her career and Jesse did 1,000 digs in her career. So they're both seniors now.
That's amazing. I actually don't know what digs are, but 1,000 sounds like a lot.
Yes. It's like receiving the ball.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Now, if I were a volleyball player, it might take me 1,000 years to get 1,000 digs. Because most of the time I would be ducking as the ball came towards my head.
Right.
So while we do a shout out to Lizzie and Jesse, we also want to give a shout out to their coach, who has been a significant part of this journey of helping them reach these milestones in their volleyball career. And you know, Mark, I don't know if you're tuned in. Mark Whitworth, I was talking with Maria and our special guest before the show began, and I said, someday I'd love to see maybe a cricket team formed in our athletics division.
She just went there. She just
announced oftentimes, it to everyone. You know, when I mention cricket, people are wondering what I am referring to. But if you've paid attention to sports outside of our United States, cricket is a very popular game. But anyhow, that's all I will say about that. But someday.
Someday.
Yes.
So, maybe someday.
So take it away, Maria. Well, take it away.
Well, we have just had, I think, a really great semester of hearing the stories of students. And I cannot even express how much I appreciate these conversations. I always come away surprised by something I learn about a student. Not in a bad way, in a good way. And I always come away challenged with the connections that our students are helping us make between our faith and our culture and our identity, and how God is moving and speaking in so many different ways, and how our students who have experienced more than one culture in depth and live in that cultural tension, how they bring to us and to our campus and our community a depth of experience and wisdom and knowledge for us that is just invaluable. And so I'm so grateful. I've been so thankful for these conversations last semester, but also especially this semester. And so today we have with us another student, another great story, and I'm so excited to hear more from him. We have Jack Widener with us.
Hello.
Hi, Jack.
So glad you're here. You've been waiting patiently. Yeah. I tried to warn you, right? Esther and I could talk for a while before we let you talk. So, Jack, for our listeners who maybe don't know you, tell us who you are, what year you are in school, where you're from, basic information that we should know about you.
Yeah. I'm super excited to be on the show. I just kind of get an opportunity to talk about, you know, my experience, my culture experience, and my background. So for those who don't know, I'm Jack Widener. My Chinese name is Wen Jia Ke. So it's kind of like Jack Jia Ke. So I grew up in Taiwan all my life. I was born there in the city of Kaohsiung. But I live all over the island, from like the north, the south, the east, the west. So I don't really connect to one city there. And right now I'm currently a junior of Azure University, the appointed class. Whoop whoop.
If we were in chapel, we'd hear a lot of cheers right now.
A lot of whoops. And I'm actually studying communications with public relations as my emphasis and graphic design as my minor. So they're really fun. I really enjoy, I'm passionate about event planning and design, so might as well get a major in it, right?
Yeah. And you're good at it too, Jack, because you're also the president of Mukapa. So you can tell our listeners a little bit about Mukapa and your role in that group.
Yeah, so Mukapa, essentially we support students who are either, well, missionary kids or third culture kids. Usually they're both. on campus. So a lot of times people are like, oh, what's third culture kids? So for example, my dad is from the cornfields of Iowa. and my mom is from Taiwan. So Taiwan is a culture itself, and America, Iowa, is a culture itself. But then because I have both this culture, I combine them, and I experience it in my own way, and I form a third culture. Mm-hmm. So you might have students or friends who have, you know, culture from Kenya, and here at Louisville, or it's like Wilmore in a city in Uruguay. So mm-hmm. that's a third culture kid. So my role is to put out events that support our students.
And that that position, especially for a student like you, right? So we have international students who are coming, who are have grown up their whole life. Both parents are perhaps Kenyan or from Ecuador or whatever. And they come into the United States and they experience this different culture. But third culture kids like yourself have lived those two cultures your whole life, right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes it's a really unique perspective yeah. as you form this sort of third culture, and especially your family, because that was written right into your family. So we have some students whose entire family is American and they grow up in Uganda and then maybe move around and come back to the U.S. But those two cultures were integrated right mm-hmm. into your family.
Yeah, it's also now like that I understand more of the differences between like the cultural differences of, you know, how people in Taiwan raise the kids versus mm-hmm. the way Americans raise the kids. Now I'm like seeing it. So I'm always, when I go back home, I always ask my parents, like, how did you raise me to be bilingual? Because I don't know any, there's not a lot of Asian American students who can speak really fluently in English mm-hmm. and Chinese. And they're like, well, you just gotta keep moving. So, and that's like, I never live in a place for more than 6 years. And that's kind of like, it's just a life of a TCK.
Yeah.
The world is your home.
Yeah, the world is your home. Right. So maybe you're a little bit closer to those verses that Paul gives us. Our citizenship is in heaven, right?
Yeah.
So this is not our home, but you live that reality maybe a lot more clearly than some of us who have been planted in one place for a long time.
I got a chance to talk to one of my friends last night. He's also a TCK and MK, and he was just saying, like, you know, sometimes it feels like a curse to be a mm-hmm. TCK because we don't identify to one mm-hmm. place. But at the same time, it's a blessing because we see Christianity at a global perspective mm-hmm. and we have cross-cultural experience that most people don't have at a young age. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a cool thought.
It is. It's all those good things always come through the through hard things, right?
Yeah.
We never get the good things easy, do we?
No.
And so it is this blessing, but I would imagine navigating that, especially maybe in those early adolescent years,
mm-hmm.
is tricky.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky.
Yeah. So can I ask how your parents met?
Yeah. So my dad was in the Air Force for 16 years in America. And he told me that, yeah, he went to church and he's like, man, I just want to get a break from this. So his pastor just sent him to Taiwan for a year.
Go to Taiwan. And your dad was like, sure.
Sure. Yeah, for a year.
Did he have someone to go see?
No, he went. No.
Just like just went.
Went. There's a orphanage there, which is where the pastor has connection to.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ted and Bev Skiles. They run an orphanage called Home of God Loves in Taiwan. And my mom was an aunt there. She like helped, you know, cook the food for the kids. She, you know, put in the sleep. She basically lived with the orphans. So my dad went over there and worked there. But then after a year, my dad went back to America. And then my dad was like, you know, I feel like I've been getting called to go back. So he went back to Taiwan, and that's when my mom and my dad started, like, which is kind of interesting because my mom did not know how to speak English, and my dad did not know how to speak Chinese. So I actually asked him, like, so how did you guys communicate it?
The language of love.
Yeah. And they were saying, they passed notes because my mom can write English and read them, but she can't speak it.
Do they still have those notes?
I don't know.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, so that's how they met.
Wow. And then they lived in
Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Yeah, until until I came here.
And does your dad have dual citizenship now, or?
Mm-hmm. No, he's able to. Mm-hmm. Like, I am able to. So when I was born, the law back then was like, oh, you got to follow your dad's citizenship. Mm-hmm. So it's U.S. citizenship. But my sister, so she's a sophomore in high school right mm-hmm. now, which, by the way, my mom gave birth to my sister when she was 48.
Wow. Wow. See, I'm learning so much. This is amazing.
So my sister wow. has both Taiwan and U.S. citizenship. Mm. For me, I don't have U.S. right now, but I can get Taiwan. I'm just holding it back right now because mm-hmm. if I do pick it up, I will have to go to Army.
That's right. Taiwan. You have the
So I'm going to wait until I'm done with college and then go back, get the citizenship, and then mm-hmm. hopefully go to Army in Taiwan for 4 months.
Wow. I have so many different questions. It's really fascinating, but I want to give Esther a chance to jump in if she's ready.
You know, I'm always ready.
That was a silly thing to say. Is Esther ready?
I'm always ready only because for all of you that like assessments that tell you anything about yourself, you know, like the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram. Not that you asked, but I'm an INTJ. Mm-hmm. And I am a 5 on the Enneagram, which basically says I like to learn. I like to gather knowledge and information. So, Jack, I have been thinking about your journey with us at Asbury University and how you have been someone that has just come along wherever you have felt that there is a place to serve. You have just come along and you've stepped in and you've stepped up. And so could you talk about being involved on campus from that platform, right? Because you are loved in this community, not just by your peers, you're liked by so many of us even that work on this campus. So we appreciate the kind of person that you are. That you are positive, that you step in, you step up. Because a lot of times we can step in, but we don't always step up. And the distinction I'm trying to make by emphasizing that is many of us want to put our hands to the task, but not everybody is willing to take the next step of risk or sacrifice or giving up of time. So why is it important for you to be invested in the ways that you are on campus? And maybe, you know, just simply speak from, you've been an ambassador and you're one of our, you know, student leaders in the intercultural programs, but you're also a spokesperson on behalf of many students. So,
yeah, thank you for saying all that. That makes me happy. I think I actually thought about that. Like, I feel like this is a big shift my freshman year to my sophomore year at Asbury. I think one thing is, like, growing up, not always being in one place, mm-hmm. I kind of learned not to commit to people. Like, oh, why should I get to know you when I'm gonna about to leave? So I think commitment was always an issue for me. So when I came to, I always think about, it's greener on the other side, wherever I go. Mm-hmm. So when I was in Taiwan, I'm like, oh, it's greener at America.
Sure.
And when I came to America, I'm like, oh, it's greener in Taiwan. And then sophomore year, I realized, like, wow, I have this issue with commitment. And I realized that, you know, it's not green on the other side. In fact, it's brown everywhere. It's green where you water it. So what that means is, so that changed my perspective of how I need to approach Mike's time at Asbury is commitment. Mm-hmm. And because I committed, that allowed me to take the opportunity to step up into different leadership positions, you know, taking risk, getting to know different people, you know, because who knows, we'll be back in Kentucky again, you know? Mm-hmm. And that, because through commitment, that allowed me to, this is like a phrase I was, imagery, I would say, like, have you ever gone, like, swing, like a cliff swing, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And I will picture, like, if you have a rope and if you swing but then you stop with your feet, you won't get as much momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, so you actually end up hurting yourself when you're not allowing yourself to swing fully. Because when you swing fully, when you commit to that swing, your momentum is higher. And that's how I feel like commitment, like that. Because I committed to Asbury, it allowed me to have a huge momentum and to go into ambassador, mm-hmm. go into intercultural student leadership, and just other taking advantage of the internship here and stuff like that. So I think it's important to me to be able to lead by example for mm-hmm. the international student here, because I want people, when they think of international student, like, yeah, they're awesome, you know? They practice excellence. They're not just, you know, oh, in college. They're mm-hmm. like, no, we're here. Like, our the education here is amazing, and we're going to take huge chances on it, you know? So that's just how I feel about it, that I'm convicted to make the most out of my experience here at Asbury. Mm.
Jack, probably one of the most profound things I may have heard in 2019 is that it's brown everywhere. Mm-hmm. The green is what we create. And that is so relatable on so many levels if we allow it to. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we're just caught up in wanting to go to the greener side, mm-hmm. But we don't realize. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that piece of wisdom. Because students and all of our AU community, we have such an opportunity mm-hmm. at making Asbury the green space. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by green is a vibrant, thriving, academic, spiritually vital community that is fully engaged in a robust way with all that the world has to offer. Mm-hmm. Not shifting our theological position, but really engaging in a manner that is worthy of those of us that call ourselves Christ followers. Yeah. So thank you. I really could talk forever, but that was very profound, that brown or dryness or barrenness, that anemia is present in so many forms all around the world. Mm-hmm. But the green is what we have the opportunity to bring, which is to make a difference where mm-hmm. we are. So
so good. And I love that imagery about the cliff swing, right? Like mm-hmm. unless you're really committed, you're not going to get the fullness out of it. I am going to take us to a break because Jack has picked out some songs. Would you like to say anything about the first song that you've picked out?
I believe it's Ocean. So my tribe, and there's a, we're really known for a music in our tribe and athletes. So my family is pretty big. This is actually one of my cousins, who sings, and he's really well known, at our tribe. And we sing his song all the time during our hunting festival, which I will be at this Christmas break. So I'm super excited about that. So yeah.
Great. Well, let's listen to it.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Asbury community. This is the Embrace Radio Hour. I'm Maria Brown. I'm here with Esther Jodhoff. Sophie is helping us out. And our special guest is Jack Widener today. And Jack has been helping us understand what it is like to truly be third culture in every sense of the word. His experience growing up with a dad who's an American and mom who is from Taiwan, growing up in Taiwan, and then coming to the United States as a college student, right? Is that when you first came here?
I've been in America, but I never lived.
Never lived, right.
I just visited here and there.
Right. So we should say that was a great song. I loved it.
It calms me. It brings me back to where I'm at, you know. Yeah.
And you said that this song is played for a hunting?
Oh, so yeah. So the hunting festival, it's the biggest festival in my tribe, Puyuma. So what it is, it's rite of passage for boys to turn into men. Mm-hmm. So they will go onto the mountain. All the men and boys of the tribe will go up to the mountain for 3 days, where the boys will take care of the elders, like, you know, feed them, you know, just be their servants. Mm-hmm. And after the third day, so you got to do this 3 years. Every, like, end of December.
You go up.
You go up to mountain.
Starting at what age?
I'll probably be, like, I'll say middle school.
Did you do this?
I did part of it. I did not. I was not able to finish it. So, because it takes 3 years. I was in school. So, it was, like, it was really hard to do it. But what it is, after you do third year, you get recognized by the whole tribe. You turn your blue skirt into a black skirt. And then the elders of the tribe will sing. We all dance. And that night, the whole men of the tribe will be wearing the customized, you know, I don't know how you, like, the shirts and the pants that are designed based on their family name. They'll go to every single house of the village and sing. And it'll start around, like, 6 p.m. and around 6 a.m. So they'll go, it's kind of like Christmas Carol, but it's this guys going into your house, welcoming a new year, ripping the calendar to January 1st. So that's just, that's the hunting festival. And each song they will sing at different families' house, it's like based off, if they got married, we'll sing this song. If they sing about someone had a funeral that year, they will sing that song. So it's a really great time for all our tribe to connect, or spread across the island. But we always come back to Nanwang, which is where I grew up. Nanwang English is called South King. It's a it's a south of the island. So there's 13 tribes in Taiwan. So we have a great history with that. So it's kind of cool.
That is so fascinating. And that was my question: does your tribe all live together? But no, they're scattered. But everyone comes back for this.
Yeah. So there's a main village, but because like school, go to work, just better opportunities, they go to the cities. So like where I go is more like countryside, 30 minutes from the ocean, but like super close to the mountains, like just in between.
I would like to go there.
Yeah, we call it Haosan, Haosui, Haowuliao, which is good mountain, good ocean, but very boring. There's no city, there's nothing like to entertain us. So
that was funny. I was waiting for like the last line. Right? It's going to be amazing, but it's very boring.
No, it's very boring. But it's a great place to grow up.
And what an interesting tradition. You know, in the United States, we just don't have that culturally. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have rites of passage for adolescents to become adults. And so it's really fascinating to hear how different cultures and even cultures within cultures manage that transition and how that in and of itself forms community because everyone comes around these adolescents turning adults and there are sort of rules about what now you're supposed to do. And that's really fascinating, especially hearing that with very individualistic ears. There's something really intriguing about that. And I think probably a lot of people in our culture sort of long for that kind of thing. Even if it is very boring. We resonate with that because I think there's something in us that says we were made for more than just ourselves. We were made for something to tell us.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing why it's a tradition that we always had. You know, it's about bringing honor to your family's name. You know, so it's important for all the boys to go through that ritual. has to celebrate a new year of coming, and you know.
So interesting. So can you talk to us a little bit about identity formation and culture? So one of the questions we like to ask students as they're telling their story is, how did the culture you grew up in or the cultures you were influenced by form your identity and your sense of who you are?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is collectivism. Like, I view myself as part of the group. Like, that's just my role. You know, you don't want to stand out. And in Taiwan, it's a collectivist culture, you know. For example, here in America, I noticed that everyone has a garbage can that they take out in front of the yard. And Taiwan's a little bit different. We actually have a garbage truck that drives around the street with music out loud to let everyone know the garbage truck is here. And everyone leaves their apartment and goes on the street all together and throws trash together. And that's how, like, people catch up then. You know, it's just
around the garbage.
Around the garbage truck. Yeah.
Right. Like, carrying out the garbage. You're talking together.
Yeah. So it's just like we do things together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just us. Like, that's one thing where I came, like, wow, you guys have yards. You guys have your own basketball court on your driveway. I never really noticed that and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. To see how the household is ran and stuff like that. So I think collectivism for me is like a huge value that formed me, my identity. Like, I'm always part of a group. I want to be part of a group. I know I don't want to be by myself. I know I want to contribute to something that's bigger than me, you know, and have a role. And that's why I like Toriel Mukapa, because we have a team and it's not about me, it's about the people, you know. So I think that's one of them. But then when it came to, I actually went to an international private school, Morrison Academy, go Mustangs, in Taiwan. And that's kind of when I was exposed to, man, I can't even explain, so many cultures, because it's an international school. So we're talking about Koreans, Filipino, American, people from UK.
Jack, isn't one of our Asbury grads working at Morrison Academy?
Yeah, Ryan Jacoby.
Ryan Jacoby.
So I got to know him at my school. And that's kind of how he brought Asbury to Morrison through that connection.
And I think Stephanie Craker, I don't know if you...
Oh, I totally
because Stephanie was our student as well several years ago. So Stephanie,
I don't really know her that much, but I know of her.
Yeah So we've got a Asbury presence.
Let's go.
Asbury is everywhere.
Yeah, but when I think when I was there, I think I was introduced to the idea of, like, individualism, like standing out, you know, because we have, like, sports teams, we have academics is huge there, so you want to be the best, you know. They expect you to work, you know, like, more, like, go out of your way for things. So I think that's kind of like when a mixture of individualism and collectivism, and that's really hard to navigate sometimes. Like, just the way we see time. For example, like, when I came to Asbury, I really noticed how people see time as a task. And people from South America and African people probably can back me up on this, to see it as a social event. Like, for example, when you eat and you hang out, you know, you talk, you catch up. But I realize a lot of Americans here, they eat and go. That's why there's drive-through. You know, eating is a task, not a social event. Just like little examples like that, you know. So like that allowed me to see, wow, this is actually very different. Just how people do things.
Yeah, I love how you brought up those very detailed examples and very commonplace, right? So it would never occur to me to think the way that we do garbage is a reflection of our cultural values. But it is, right? Everyone is responsible for their own garbage. You get your own can out there, and then someone comes and takes it away. And you don't talk to them unless you're me running out there at the last second trying to catch them before they leave. Wait, please.
Jack,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, you reminded me of this quote that I've heard. You know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And it's an African saying, and I'm not remembering who it came from. But I think in drawing that distinction in a communal versus an individualistic culture, I think in my humble opinion, the perfection would be when we know how to use the good of the individualistic components mm-hmm. and the good of the communal and create mm-hmm. the Christian culture that we're yeah. invited mm-hmm. to create, right?
Yeah.
So while we need to be mindful of the resources such as time, we shouldn't do that to the exclusion of the main resource, which is you, me, all of us, people,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? So oftentimes we ignore the value or the emphasis of human life mm-hmm. and vice versa. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think that's something I noticed here too, that I beginning to like, so now I catch myself like, wow, Jack, you're not being present at all. You're just thinking about what's next.
Hmm.
You know, like, because I know growing up, I was so relationship oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, hey, let's go out. It's Wednesday night at high school. Let's go out. And then people are like, what? You got to study. I'm like, what do you mean? But now I'm like, oh, I get it. just like, there's a lot of bouncing backs. Like, the biggest struggle for me in my freshman year is like trying to be the Taiwanese Jack and the American Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But then realize that, like, wait, which one is Jack?
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to Jared Miller, who recruited me to come to Asbury.
Mm-hmm.
He has so many cultural background, and he was like,
I think he's in Taiwan right
yeah,
now.
No, he's in,
or has he moved?
He moved to Japan, Korea, I think.
Okay,
either Korea, Japan. But
Jared, we hope you come back with your bags and with your life. I've been kind of
yeah.
seeing some updates on Facebook about missing bags
yeah.
and delays. So we hope you're back safe.
Yeah, and bring some kosher men back. but he was saying, like, Jack, stop focusing on being a Taiwanese Jack. Stop focusing on being the American Jack. Just focus on being you.
Hmm.
And, like, even though it sounds, like, super simple, but it was very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of what TCK would struggle with,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because they're always trying to please one culture or other.
Mm-hmm.
But it realizes, like, no, it's...
You know, there was a workshop we did a couple years ago. Dr. Mark Troyer wanted to help our offices in the admin building that primarily serve students, right? So student accounts or registrars. And so one of the things we did, or I did, was I just kind of polled some of our students to say, what do you want these offices to know about your unique identities, mm-hmm. right? And I remember what our Mukapan said to me, or the third culture mm-hmm. student, verbatim what they said to me is, just because I am white, don't assume that I understand your systems and your structures, right? So like financial aid or Sally Mae, like, don't just look at me and act like I understand how the system functions
mm-hmm.
because I've grown up in Africa and I'm more African than I am Caucasian
mm-hmm.
or North American. So I think that is a pretty profound, complex reality for our third culture students,
yeah.
Is while we look like the common or the majority, our experiences are different and we're not informed about the majority culture
mm-hmm.
features, right? So
mm-hmm.
so thank you for highlighting.
I like to call TCKs and MKs the in-betweener.
In-betweeners.
We're not fully, well, for me, I'm not fully white. I'm not fully Asian. I'm
sure.
Just in between.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm, well, Jack, I have a question. I have one question. No, I have more than one, actually, but I have one good one. But I also just have a theory. It's not really a theory. It's more just a thought as we are talking about this blending of cultures. And when you said, you know, I'm trying to be two different Jacks, and then someone says to you, Jared says, just be Jack, which would be this really mm-hmm. beautiful combination of two cultures mm-hmm. and two backgrounds. And I'm wondering if that is a really good metaphor for our community here at Asbury, maybe, or perhaps a good thing for us to learn from, because we have a lot of students coming from lots of different cultures, right?
Yeah.
And so we are traditionally, historically, Caucasian evangelical. But that is shifting as we have a lot more different perspectives represented here. And so one of the things that has been in my head, and Esther can tell me if this is theologically straight or not, is this something, do we need to continue to be one thing that we ask students, okay, this is our community, you conform to this community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we become sort of a third kind of community, that we are not the majority and we are not the minority? We are this Asbury blend of all of these different perspectives and cultures. And how do we do that well? I don't know. But your story makes me think perhaps that's a little bit of a model for us, right? That we're not trying to sometimes be this and sometimes be this, but that we're consistently blending these cultural expressions, cultural experiences, perspectives. Just a thought. Something
no,
to ponder.
I think, Maria, we will probably need a whole nother radio show.
Whole
for
show.
That,
a whole know, show. So we've got the Waco show. And we've got how we become a third culture here at Asbury.
Or how do we continue to maintain integrity with right. our theological
right.
foundation and have a posture that's hospitable
right.
to all of these varieties that we see, right?
Right.
And I often keep going back to John Inazu, who wrote the book Confident Pluralism. And I could, again, share quite a bit about this, but I think, you know, with my upbringing and having grown in a diverse and pluralistic context, mm-hmm. I think it's a very viable option mm-hmm. for Asbury to remain in belief, remain the Wesleyan mm-hmm. You know, holiness institution that we are. I think what we need to constantly pay attention to is how do we demonstrate that? So our practice, what does that look like as a Wesleyan holiness in mm-hmm. the 21st century? Mm-hmm. And so I could talk about it for all day, if not long. But Maria, I think we're on to something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not theologically far off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we would have to engage in intentional conversations to identify what does that posturing,
mm-hmm.
what does our action look like as Wesleyan holiness mm-hmm. persons to respect cultures, ethnicities, and the persons who embody this.
Right.
So.
Right. So much there, right?
Yep.
Well, Jack, I am very aware of our time. Mm-hmm. And if you're boss at the ambassador office.
We do
have another song, but we need to give Jack just a second to close us out with any closing thoughts you have. And we missed my question, but I can ask you later.
No.
So Jack, is there anything that you want us to know before we sign off? And, or my question is, as you grew up in this collectivist culture, how did that group that, how important the group is, how does that influence your faith? So I'm just wondering if that has an impact on how you view faith and the body of Christ.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I would leave is like, you know, for me, like in my faith, I can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I you have to have someone, you know, pursue God with you. You know, that means get into small groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get together with my MK friends. And
mm-hmm.
we get together, like, from different countries, but when we get together and we talk about our faith walk, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's important to help each other stay accountable to, you know, our walk with the Lord and our goals and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important for me, like, do it as a group, because you will learn a lot more
mm-hmm.
about God through that way, you know.
Right.
And He created a relationship.
Right.
Know?
So if you want to go far,
yeah,
go with
together.
Others, right? Go together.
Others.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we're so grateful for you being with us today. And Esther's pointing at me. I'm pointing at her. We're really worried about you getting to your ambassador job on time.
Do you have a tour?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Well, we missed our question of why this conversation is important, right, Esther?
Well, I think if we could, maybe in 30 seconds, mm-hmm. Jack, if you could tell mm-hmm. us why Asbury needs to continue to lean into this conversation
mm-hmm.
of why does it matter and why should Asbury, students, faculty, staff, all of us,
yeah.
why should we lean into this conversation?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is start here, impact the world. But if we don't educate ourselves, like, for example, I never had Latino friends or African friends or African American friends before I came to state. And then I had to lean in to get to know them and know about their stories. And that allowed me to understand who they are, what they represent, their values are, and help me see them perspective. Because knowing that, it would allow me to understand people in the future who I meet. Like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, so I think it's important for us to lean in. That way, when we go out to the world, we'll be able to impact it, you know, because conversation is where you can make the most impact, in my own opinion. So I think it's as important, Asbury, that you guys are continually educating yourself and step outside of comfort zone, because that's when you grow. Because if you're not growing, you're rotting.
So good. So many good things. I'm really grateful, Jack, for your story. It's really interesting just to hear some of the ways that you grew up, the things that shaped you, but also your insight on being in community, your insight on being committed to where you are. I hope that all of our students and anyone who's listening really hear that and take it to heart that unless we are planted right where we are, we're never going to see that green emerge. I think that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And also your cliff swinging example, which I will not comment on further, but we could, right? But I think it's a challenge to me, and I hope to our listeners as well. So I'm really grateful for that. And just grateful, Jack, for what you bring to our community, what your commitment here means to our community and our student body, and what your commitment to your faith means. And we're just grateful for that. And we're so thankful
you
had this hour.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You don't have a song. The song rebooted. We talked too long. You had a song. I'm so sorry.
No worries. I'll share it to you guys.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Asbury community.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Jack. Actually, I've received a couple messages asking for your cousin's song.
Oh.
While we've been live recording here, people are wanting to know if it's on Spotify. It is on Spotify.
Yes.
Okay, so listeners, it is on Spotify if you're looking for the song. But thank you, Jack. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Sophie. And students, as we're signing off, I just want to say how much we really are grateful for how you share with us the good, the difficult, and the wonderful
you're
stuff. So thank you.
ACW.
And keep sharing. Keep bringing that to our attention.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.